That is the social services information, not mine. It has to do with Lisbeth Salander's whole lifestyle. Not surprisingly, her prognosis was dismal after her treatment was interrupted, and her life became a round of alcohol abuse, police intervention, and uncontrolled promiscuity.
You say uncontrolled promiscuity?
Yes. That's a term which indicates that she had no control over her own life. She had sexual relations with older men.
That's not against the law.
No, but it's abnormal behaviour for a 17-year-old girl. The question might be asked as to whether she participated in such encounters of her own free will, or whether she was in a situation of uncontrollable compulsion.
But you said that she was very probably a prostitute.
That may have been a natural consequence of the fact that she lacked education, was incapable of completing school or continuing on to higher education, and therefore could not get a job. It's possible that she viewed older men as father figures, and that financial remuneration for sexual favours was simply a convenient bonus, in which case I perceive it as neurotic behaviour.
So you think that a 17-year-old girl who has sex is neurotic?
You're twisting my words.
But you do not know whether she ever took money for sexual favours.
She was never arrested for prostitution.
And she hardly could be, since prostitution is not a crime in our country.
Well, yes, that's right. In her case, this has to do with compulsive neurotic behaviour.
And you did not hesitate to conclude that Lisbeth Salander is mentally ill based on these unverifiable assumptions? When I was 16 years old, I drank myself silly on half a bottle of vodka which I stole from my father. Do you think that makes me mentally ill?
No, of course not.
If I may be so bold, is it not a fact that when you were 17, you went to a party and got so drunk that you and your friends went out on the town and smashed the windows around the square in Uppsala? You were arrested by the police, detained until you were sober, and then let off with a fine.
Teleborian looked shocked.
Is that not a fact, Dr. Teleborian?
Well, yes. People do so many stupid things when they're 17, but
that doesn't lead you, or anyone else, to believe that you have a serious mental illness?
Teleborian was angry. That infernal lawyer kept twisting his words and homing in on details. She refused to see the larger picture. And his own childish escapade. How the hell had she gotten a hold of that information? He cleared his throat and spoke in a raised voice.
The reports from social services were unequivocal. They confirmed that Lisbeth Salander had a lifestyle that revolved around alcohol, drugs, and promiscuity. Social services also said that she was a prostitute.
No. Social services never said that she was a prostitute.
She was arrested at...
No, she was not arrested. Giannini said. She was searched in Tantalundan at the age of 17, when she was in the company of a much older man. That same year she was arrested for drunkenness, also in the company of a much older man. Social services feared that she might be engaged in prostitution, but no evidence was ever presented.
She had very loose sexual relations with a large number of individuals, both male and female.
In your own report, you dwell on my client's sexual habits. You claim that her relationship with her friend Miriam Wu confirms the misgivings about a sexual psychopathy. Why does it confirm any such thing?
Teleborian gave no answer.
I sincerely hope that you are not thinking of claiming that homosexuality is a mental illness, Giannini said. That might even be an illegal statement.
No, of course not. I'm alluding to the elements of sexual sadism in the relationship.
You think that she's a sadist?
We
have Miriam Wu's statement here. There was, it says, no violence in their relationship.
They engaged in S&M sex, and
now I'm beginning to think you've been reading too many evening newspapers. Lisbeth Salander and her friend Miriam Wu engaged in sexual games on some occasions, which involved Miriam Wu tying up my client and giving her sexual satisfaction. That is neither especially unusual or against the law. Is that why you want to lock up my client?
Teleborian waved a hand in a dismissive gesture.
When I was 16 and still at school, I was intoxicated on a good many occasions. I have tried drugs. I have smoked marijuana.
and I even tried cocaine on one occasion about 20 years ago. I had my first sexual experience with a school friend when I was 15, and I had a relationship with a boy who tied my hands to the bedposts when I was 20. When I was 22, I had a relationship with a man who was 47 that lasted several months. Am I, in your view, mentally ill?
Fru Giannini, you joke about this, but your sexual experiences are irrelevant in this case.
Why is that? When I read your so-called psychiatric assessment of Lisbeth Salander, I find point after point which, taken out of context, would apply to myself. Why am I healthy and sound, while Lisbeth Salander is considered a dangerous sadist?
These are not the details that are relevant. You didn't twice try to murder your father,
Dr. Teleborian. The reality is that it's none of your business whom Lisbeth Salander wants to have sex with. It's none of your business which gender her partner is, or how they conduct their sexual relations. And yet in her case you pluck out details from her life and use them as the basis for saying that she is sick.
Lisbeth Salander's whole life, from the time she was in junior school, is a document of unprovoked and violent outbursts of anger against teachers and other pupils.
Just a moment. Giannini's voice was suddenly like an ice scraper on a car window.
Look at my client.
Everyone looked at Salander. My client grew up in abominable family circumstances. Over a period of years, her father persistently abused her mother.
That's... Let me finish.
Lisbeth Salander's mother was mortally afraid of Alexander Zalichenko. She did not dare to protest. She did not dare to go to a doctor. She did not dare to go to a women's crisis center. She was ground down and eventually beaten so badly that she suffered irreversible brain damage. The person who had to take responsibility, the only person who tried to take responsibility for the family long before she reached her teens even, was Lisbeth Salander. She had to shoulder that burden all by herself, since Zalichenko the spy was more important to the state and its social services than Lisbeth's mother.
The result, excuse me, was a situation in which society abandoned Lisbeth's mother and her two children.
Are you surprised that Lisbeth had problems at school? Look at her. She's small and skinny. She has always been the smallest girl in her class. She was introverted and eccentric, and she had no friends. Do you know how children tend to treat fellow students who are different?
Teleborian sighed. Giannini continued.
I can go back to her school records and examine one situation after another in which Lisbeth turned violent. The incidents were always preceded by some kind of provocation. I can easily recognize the signs of bullying. Let me tell you something.
What?
I admire Lisbeth Salander. She's tougher than I am. If I had been strapped down for a year when I was 13, I would probably have broken down altogether. She fought back with the only weapon she had available, her contempt for you.